There we go. Proverbs chapter 2 is where we begin. Proverbs chapter 2. And then we're going to jump over to the book of Genesis, the very beginning. Proverbs chapter 2. And we're going to look at just one verse, and then we're going to head over to the book of Genesis. So Proverbs chapter 2, and then look what the Bible says in the sixth verse together. The Bible says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." So let's remember this thought. God is the giver of wisdom, godly wisdom that cometh from above. And God wants to give us knowledge, and he wants to give us understanding. So if we turn to the book of Genesis in the third chapter now, I want us to look at, in the very beginning, one of the first decisions that changed the world. And we can learn from this decision. I want us to think about the wisdom of God and how God gives us wisdom to make decisions in our lives. And all of us have many decisions to make. Every day, there's small decisions, big decisions. There's many decisions. And God gives wisdom. And I want us to see the wisdom of God in the very first decision and how Adam and Eve chose not to follow that wisdom. So it's a long passage of Scripture, but let's read it together. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. Verse 4, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the tree thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." And by the way, it's the first illustration there of sin separating us from God. And the Bible says in verse 9, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and hid myself. And verse 11, God says, And he said, Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to me, to be with me, she gave me of the tree and did eat." And what Adam is saying there, by the way, is, God, this is your fault. You gave me the woman, and she gave me the fruit, and I did eat. This is your fault. And by the way, we blame God for a lot of things in our lives. Verse 13, the Bible says, "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent," by the way, that was true, what she said to God. She was deceived, the Bible says, but Adam chose to disobey God. In verse 14, "The Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon the belly shall thou go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life." By the way, it's interesting. It would seem from the Bible that the serpent at this time had legs. And it would also seem that when, and I don't know if it's all the animals, but when the serpent talked to Eve and Adam, I mean, they didn't seem surprised by it, though, I mean, you can't really read deep into the text. Maybe they were kind of surprised that the serpent was talking. But we see here that they had conversation with the serpent. And so God curses the serpent here in this passage of Scripture. And because of this deception, that the snake would be despised upon the face of the earth. And I don't know if you like snakes. I'm not a big fan of them, but they seem to be very despised. In verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be unto thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying. By the way, pain in childbirth is because of Eve. And I can imagine when we get to heaven, there's going to be a very long line of to talk to Eve when we get to heaven. But here we see the curse that is given to Adam and Eve, that they're going to have to work for their food. They're going to have to till the ground. And the Bible says here in verse 22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. We are created in the image of God. We are created as a spirit that lives in a body and possesses a soul or personality. And really, when we think of death is actually the mercy of God that we would live forever in this sinful state. That's why the Bible says the whole world is waiting for redemption to come to pass. Because our whole world is cursed, and our body is cursed by sin. And we see the effects of sin everywhere. And all these school shootings, people say, well, why would God allow this to happen? That's all the result of sin. And because of sin, there's pride and selfishness and poverty all over our world. Our whole world is cursed by sin, by a decision that a man made in a garden in the Garden of Eden. And so the Bible says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground for whence it was taken. And he drove out the man. The thought there is to force him out. So he didn't go willingly. He had to force out the man. And he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity we have. And Lord, I pray you would teach us tonight from your word, as all of us make decisions, again, some small, some big. But Father, I pray you would direct our thoughts and help us, Lord, to glorify you in the decisions that we make. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So obviously we see from this passage of Scripture a big decision that was made. The book of Genesis is the beginning of all creation. And we have in our world today a battle for the beginning. And the reason why is because to accept a creator is to accept accountability, that we cannot just do whatever we want, that we are accountable to someone. And so our world today is denied, or let's say this, they are willingly ignorant of the world that they see. They've denied God and creation, and they live their life in rebellion. The Bible makes it very clear in Genesis 1 that in the beginning God created all things. And God doesn't argue the fact. There is no argument. By the way, don't reason with unreasonable people. I mean, it is clearly seen in creation that there is a God and that he is the creator of all things. So God placed man in the Garden of Eden, and God told man to guard and garden. He said, I want you to dress it and keep it. I want you to protect it, and I want you to keep it neat and tidy. Now think about this. Adam was perfect in the garden. God created a perfect environment. There's a perfect God. All the animals were tame. I mean, it was a wonderful place to be. Now people ask me this question all the time. How could Adam and Eve sin in the Garden of Eden if it was a perfect place? See, there's one variable you need to understand. God gave Adam and Eve a free will. They had a choice to make. And by the way, love with no choice is not love at all. If there was no tree of the knowledge and good and evil, and Adam and Eve had no choice to disobey God, then that is not true love. True love is a choice. And so they had a choice to make. They could obey God, or they could disobey God. And then you bring into the equation, which we are introduced in the book of Genesis to him, and more in the book of Ezekiel and through the Old Testament, Lucifer, the devil, a fallen angel who had great a position in heaven but wanted to be God and wanted God's position. He desired to be as like the Most High. And so he comes to Adam and Eve. And remember, Adam and Eve, or humanity, is the apple of God's eye. We are created in God's image. We are the apple of his eye, the Bible says in the book of Psalms. And the devil understood this. And the work of the devil is that humanity would be like him, separated from God and destined to hell. And so we see in the book of Genesis the deception of the devil and the decision that was made. We often use this expression, and I have lots of commentaries in my office, and they'll often title Genesis 3, The Fall of Man. And it wasn't a fall, it was a choice. It was a decision. Adam didn't fall into it. Adam decided that he was going to disobey God. And so this one decision changed all of humanity. All of us make decisions every day. A husband and a wife, prior to marriage, decided that they would make all that he would make all the major decisions and she would make all the minor decisions. And after 20 years of marriage, he was asked how this arrangement had worked, and he said, "Great. In all of these years, I've never had to make a major decision." All of us have major decisions to make, and all of us make minor decisions. Someone has well said this: life will be different tomorrow because of decisions that you make today. And so the decisions that you make today are very important. We can learn from the testimony of this couple, the first couple in the Bible. Now, there are three ways that God gives us wisdom. The Bible says God is the giver of wisdom. He gives us wisdom. There are four ways in the Bible that God gives us wisdom. First of all, there is the pronouncement that God gives us. Thou shalt not. You fill in the blank. That's command. And it's straightforward, right? I mean, you don't need a commentary to know when the Bible says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not have any other gods before you, thou shalt not take my name in vain. You don't need an interpretation. It's a pronouncement. It's a command. The Bible says, thou shalt not. But then the Bible also has various principles. And a principle is not a direct command, but it's a truth to direct us. It's not a direct command, but it is a truth to direct us. And the Bible has many principles. Then there's Proverbs, which we are looking through, some great Proverbs. And a Proverbs is an expression of practical instruction. It's a pathway, and then it gives you the end of that pathway and the reaping if you don't follow in the particular pathway. And then there's promises in our Bible. And promises are, you know, some of them are promises of eternal life. Some of them are promises of joy and blessing. Some of them are just promises like you reap what you sow. That's a promise from God. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. That's a promise given to us by God. God says this will come to pass. And so we all have decisions, and God gives us wisdom. And sometimes in the decisions we have to work harder to get the wisdom in making the right decision. But the Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to every man liberally. All right, God's not a liberal, but he gives wisdom liberally, okay? And so the Bible says that God wants to give to us wisdom. And so sometimes we have to work harder to get that wisdom, but God gives us the wisdom that we need to make the right decision. Now, in times of making decisions, sometimes we need to, obviously we need to always look to God for guidance, but sometimes we need to wait in making that decision. When we moved to 347 West Heights, we moved in August, and when September rolled around, there was a tree in our front lawn that looked pretty dead. And I remember telling my wife, I'm going to chomp that tree down. It's dead. And so I didn't get time to do it. Obviously, wintertime came, and then spring came. And just a couple of weeks ago, my wife looked at the tree and said, isn't it beautiful? Aren't you glad that you didn't chop it down? I talked to my neighbor who talked still to the previous owner, and he named the type of tree and said, yeah, it looks dead in the fall and in the wintertime, but in the spring, it blooms and is beautiful. And there's a lesson there for all of us, and that is this: never cut down trees in the wintertime. You need to sometimes wait on decisions before you make them, because sometimes you don't think clearly. You know, sometimes you go through a difficult time and you feel depressed or you feel pressed down. that's not a good time to make a decision. You need to wait on the Lord and let Him give you strength, and wait till the scenario or the circumstance kind of clears up a little bit before you make a decision. But let's jump into this passage of Scripture. As we think about making decisions, I want to walk through this passage of Scripture. So first of all, the wisdom that God gives is simple, okay? It begins with a command from the Creator. Now, here's what the Bible says in the second book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 2. In verse 15, the Bible says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and keep it." And look at this, verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man." So it's a direct command saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." So think about how many trees could have possibly been in this garden. I'm thinking a lot. They had all of the trees except for, verse 17, "but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." That's the command that we have. It's wisdom from God. You can have all of the trees, but this one tree is for myself. I'm keeping it for myself. Don't touch it. Don't eat of it. You'll surely die. This is what the Bible says. And so we find in this passage of Scripture, the wisdom given to Adam and Eve, the command from the Creator not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, within our sinful nature, we have something called rebellion. And rebellion is that nature that when someone says, "Don't do it," you want to do it. And in fact, when someone says, "Don't do it," you want to do it more. Like when you're walking down the sidewalk and there's a sign that says, "Don't walk on the grass." Now, you know what I'm talking about. You're thinking in your mind, "I want to walk on that grass. I want to just step on it." This is rebellion. And the Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is from the heart. The Bible says, "But those things which proceed of the mouth come forth from the heart. They defile the man." And all of us are sinners by nature and by choice. We have sinned against God. And so we find some things in this passage of Scripture. Number one, there's the command not to eat of the tree. So God tells man, don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And this is a direct command. It is direct. It is important. It is simple to understand. It is solid to understand. You can excuse it away. You can try to make it, you can make light of it. You can do whatever you want. The command is still there, and it's simple to understand. And Adam understood. God said, don't eat of this tree. The command not to eat of the tree. There's the command to protect his home from the wicked one. In verse 15, the Bible says, "And the Lord God took the man, he put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." God gave Adam a task. There are some people who believe that work is because of the curse. Work is not because of the curse. God gave Adam work to do before the curse, and he had a task to do. God said, "You're going to protect the garden, and you're going to garden it. You're going to make it nice and neat. And you're going to protect it from the devil." The Bible says this in Ephesians 4:27. "Neither give place to the devil." There is a devil who's a roaring lion. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And if we think about this tonight, the devil is in our world today. His influence is in the world today. And he's a roaring lion. I mean, he's not taking prisoners. He doesn't care about you. He wants to destroy you. He wants, the Bible word here is devour, and he's seeking to devour you. And so I say this to give you the understanding that Adam had wisdom. God gave him wisdom. It's not like, okay, he comes to this decision and he didn't have wisdom. He didn't know what to do. No, Adam knew what to do. He had wisdom to make the right decision. So there's the command of the Creator. Number two, there's the convincing of the creature. Now, the Bible says this in the third chapter. We're introduced again to the beguiling of the serpent, of Satan. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. The word subtle there means wise. It's a real depth word. It means skillful, shrewd, crafty, learned, prudent. I mean, the devil, he's been around the block a couple of times, and he's wise in how to deceive and destroy. I thought this was cute, this little writing. A retired man moves near a junior high school and he spends the first few weeks of retirement in peace and quiet. However, when the new school year begins, three young boys beat on every trash can as they encounter every single day on their way home from school. Finally, the man decides to take action and he walks out to meet the boys. He says, "You know, you kids are a lot of fun." He says, you guys are a lot of fun. He says, "I'm going to give you $5 if you promise to come around every single day and do your thing. Just keep on doing your thing." And the kids continue to do a great job on banging on those trash cans. And after a few days, the man tells the kids that the recession was getting really hard and it really made a big dent in his income. And from now on, he was only able to pay him $3 every time they would come and they would bang on the trash cans. And so, you know, the noisemakers were displeased about it, but they accepted the offer and they continued. And a few days later, the retired man approached them again and says, "Listen, having received my social assistance, recently, and I'm not going to be able to pay you the $3 anymore, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll still give you a dollar for you guys going on and doing your thing." And he asked them if this would be okay. And the young men said, a dollar? He says, "You think that we're going to waste our time and beat on these trash cans for a dollar?" They said, "We quit." And they walked away. Now, this is what the devil wants us to do. The devil wants us to take our focus on other people and the Lord and put the focus on ourselves. And he does this so craftily. And we find it actually in this passage of Scripture. We'll look at this in just a moment. But I want us to notice how he approaches Adam and Eve. The very first thing he does is he gets them to question the Word of God. The Bible says in verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said." Now notice right there, he questions the Word of God. Yea, hath God said? Did God really say that? You know, if the devil wants to trick us in making a wrong decision and heading in a wrong pathway, the very first thing he's going to get us to do in our mind is question the authority of God. He's going to get us to question what God says. And this is what the devil does in our world today. He messes with the Word of God. There are thousands of Bible versions in our world today. And they say different things. And people in our world today are so confused. You know, and the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. But remember, the devil is the author of confusion. And the devil wants people to be confused. The devil wants people to be lost in religion. The devil wants to question the authority of God. In the 1970s, there was a familiar saying called question authority. And it became popular beginning in the 1970s. It was a bumper sticker slogan, and it was really a common graffiti slogan, and it intended to encourage people to avoid the appeals to authority. But I want you to know that in 1970, this slogan didn't begin. It began in the Garden of Eden when the devil came to Adam and Eve and said, "Hey, have the Lord really said that? Question the authority of God. Did God really say this?" Number two, not only did he question God's word, he led them toward a carnal conclusion. Now this is interesting. When you think and you study of what the devil did here, the devil directed Adam and Eve's attention on themselves, where it was about the command of God. God said, "Don't touch of the tree of the knowledge and good and evil. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Or excuse me, don't eat of it. Don't eat of it. Don't take of that fruit." And we notice of what the devil did in this passage of Scripture. In verse 3, the Bible says, "But of the fruit of the tree, which in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Thou shalt not eat of it, neither shalt thou touch it, lest thou die." By the way, I believe God didn't say, "Don't touch it," but I believe that was a protection there that was placed in Adam, that if you're not going to eat it, if you don't touch it, so told his wife, "Don't even touch it, don't go near it." But notice what we find here in verse 4, "The serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." Look at this, verse 5. "For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Hey, this is not about God. This is about you. This is about your life. This is about what you deserve. This is what the devil does all the time. When I was in high school, we were constantly bombarded with self-esteem. You're number one. Look out for you. You know, all of these things. We were taught as young adults that we were number one, that we were the most important, that it doesn't matter who gets hurt as long as we succeed. And this is really the mind of the devil here. Don't worry about God. Don't worry about what God wants. Don't worry about God's concern, God's command. He just doesn't want you to be like him. This is actually about you and what you deserve in life. 1 John chapter 2 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And this is the best description you'll ever get of the world. This is the world to a T. For all that is in the world, look at this, the lust of the flesh, all right? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We are filled with a world today that all they want to be is the best. We're filled with a world today that they want to be the richest and most popular. It's the pride of this world. You know, keeping up with the Joneses, that's the pride of this world. You know, the lust of the flesh. Look what the Bible says. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, the pride of life. And think about the lust of the flesh. It was pleasant to the eyes. Our world says, if it feels good, do it. I mean, who cares what God says? If it feels good, do it. It can't be wrong. That's what our world is constantly telling young people today. Think about the lust of the eyes, the tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and she did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. If it's going to make me more wise, then how can it be wrong? Why would God, I hear this, people say this all the time, why would God withhold it from me? Why would God say no? You know, if God made marijuana, well, God did make marijuana. God made a lot of things you shouldn't take and eat. It's poison. And that's the thinking of some people. Well, if God made it, why would it be wrong? God made the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and God said, no, don't eat it. Right? And that's the rebellion spirit that we find, this free choice that was made. And we find it in our world today, the convincing of the creature, the deception that we find. And then thirdly, think about this, the consequence of the couple. What happened? They died. Spiritually, they were separated from God. I mean, one minute they're walking with God in the cool of the day, having wonderful fellowship with God, and the next minute they're hiding from God. They died. Remember, God, we are in the image of God. We are a spirit. We're in a body, and we possess. We have a soul. We have a personality, and the real you will never die, and the spirit will never die. But the body is just an earthly treasure. It's just clay. It's dust. It's not eternal. I mean, God's going to raise it up in the end, but we'll die one day. But the reality is there's separation here. There's separation. And man's relationship with God was marred because of the decision that was made. And the Bible says in Adam, we all die. We all are bearing the consequence of the decision of one man. And so many times, there are children that will face the consequences of the decision that a dad or a mom made or a grandparent made. And you see it in the Bible all the time. And my time is up. We're not going to go through that. But the consequence that we find in Adam's life, I mean, all of humanity bears it. And we're all sinners. Because of the decision that was made. So the Bible says this in Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. And the very first decision that is made, God gave wisdom. But God gave Adam a free choice. And listen, you have a free choice. You make the decisions that you want to make. But God gives wisdom. Let me give you three simple truths about making decisions. Number one, follow God's truth. Follow God's truth. In the time of the decision, in clouded thought, it may not look like following the Lord is the wisest choice in your life. But I want to tell you something, friend, that when you follow God's word, read Psalm 1. in his deeds, that man will be blessed. You'll never go wrong following the Bible. I'm talking about the commands of God. I'm talking about the principles, precepts, the proverbs. Protect yourself from a world of trouble. Protect yourself. The Bible says, be not deceived. We talk about Adam and Eve, deception, Eve's deception in the garden. God says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so, reap to the sow to the Spirit, reap life everlasting. Number two, resist the devil. Resist the devil. The devil's going to do everything in his power, first of all, to question God's authority in your life. The devil's going to do everything in his authority to get the attention off of the Lord and the blessing of God and on you. This is what I want to do. You know, that's we call that in the New Testament, New Covenant, it's carnality. It's letting the flesh reign in our life. And the Bible says to be carnally minded is what? Death. To be carnally minded is death, the Bible says. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so resist the devil and follow the truths of God. And then thirdly, be consistent in your walk with God. I'm talking about drawing near to God. Again, it takes, I say this all the time like a broken record, but it takes work on your part. It takes time of investment. When Peter denied the Lord, one of the key parts of his life was he strayed from the Lord. The Lord Jesus went into the great hall, and Peter stayed outside, and the damsel said, hey, you're one of the disciples. And Peter said, no, I'm not. If he would have followed the Lord, like John followed the Lord, I don't believe he would have denied him. But he stayed back from the Lord. That's the time we are the weakest, is when we are away from the Lord. Why do you think when someone's backslidden, they don't want to go to church? You know, you say, why are you so concerned when someone doesn't go to church? Because I know that most of the times that when someone is, no, all of the times when someone's backslidden, they don't have a desire to be around the Word of God or Christians that are doing right. I mean, they want to be away from that environment like Peter was. And his heart wasn't right at this time. And so be consistent in your walk with God. Draw near to God and ask the Lord to help you. Stay in the Bible. Stay in the Word of God. Continue with your prayer life. And the truth that we have before us is that God is the giver of wisdom. And God will give us wisdom, as God gave wisdom in Genesis chapter 3, and as God has given wisdom to so many before and after, God will give wisdom in your life as well. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for what you've done, and thank you, Lord, for where we are today. It is truly the grace of God. And Lord, when we think about our life and even the decisions that we've made, even the decision to be here tonight, there's so many more places that we could be. And Lord, I know our flesh desires to just even lay back and relax tonight. But Lord, I pray that you would bless each one for being here to make that decision. Lord, in the midst of in a really busy world, Father, I pray you'd help us to make good decisions that honor you. Father, I pray you'd give us wisdom in the day-to-day life. Father, I pray that as we come into difficult situations and we don't know what direction to go, that we would be busy digging deep in the Word of God, praying and asking you for help. Lord, help us not to rush ahead. Help us not to move forward without your leading. Father, help us to wait on you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us through your Word to make good decisions. Thank you again for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.